Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. The 17th edition of the World Indoor Athletics Championship starts in Birmingham in England on Thursday. The competition will bring together many top performers from the season's international indoor circuit. Track and field competition indoors has its own distinctive atmosphere, and it also provides a launch pad for athletes to progress to even greater achievements. The energetic Andy Edwards is in Birmingham. And Andy considers in particular the prospects for two athletes, one already acknowledged as among the best in recent years, and another making a great impact this season.
Ethiopia's Genzebe Dibaba has been a dominant force in women's middle distance running for almost a decade, especially on the indoor circuit. Christian Coleman from the USA, on the other hand, had won national collegiate sprint titles and shared gold in the USA's sprint relay squad at the World Championships last year, but was not a top name until he broke the world indoor mark for 60 metres in February. The spotlight will be on both in Birmingham. Genzebe Dibaba, alongside her sisters Tirunesh and Ejegayehu, are among Ethiopia's most supremely talented runners. Unbeaten indoors for 8 years, Genzebe won the world outdoor 1500 metres title in 2015, but runs the 3000 metre final in Birmingham, having won that indoor title at the last two championships. But the women's 3000, a straight final on Thursday evening, has a very strong lineup. Helen Obiri of Kenya is the world 5000 metres champion. Sifan Hassan of the Netherlands has as strong a finish as anyone. And Britain's Laura Muir won two European indoor golds last year. On the circuit, Genzebe is usually able to run away from the opposition, winding the pace up to world record tempo. But a championship final has no official pacemakers. Dibaba will face rivals with equally distinguished pedigree as her own. If she retains the 3,000-meter title, she can turn her attention to the 1,500. When Christian Coleman became the fastest man ever over 60 metres indoors in Albuquerque, New Mexico on February 18, he erased the name of Maurice Green from the record books. To take over from a sprinter who twice won Olympic gold and 5 world titles for the USA is quite an achievement.
I just love this sport, man. It's so competitive, and it's either you got it or you don't on this day. And I love racing in the big races when everybody's watching. And, you know, I just flourish in those moments, man. And when all the lights are on, man, it just comes out.
Coleman can expect a tough challenge, however, especially from his fellow American Ronnie Baker and China's Sung Bing Qian. Africa should have a strong chance of medals in the women's 60, with the Ivory Coast duo of Muriel Ahoué and Marie-José Talou both having won silver medals in recent global championships. Emmanuel Correa of Kenya is the world's fastest man this season over 800 metres, but a European could spring a surprise, since Adam Schott of Poland has a devastating finish, which brought him silver medals in the last two outdoor world championships. South Africa has a strong trio for the men's long jump, headed by the outdoor world champion Luvo Manyonga, the bronze medalist Ruswa Samai, and the veteran Godfrey Mokwena, the winner of the indoor tour title this season. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Andy Edwards at the World Indoor Championships in Birmingham.
Thanks, Andy. We look forward to your coverage in Birmingham. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. World football's governing body, FIFA, has given a 6-month extension to a normalization committee running the troubled FA in Cameroon. The committee took over the day-to-day running of Cameroon's Football Federation, FECAFOOT, in August 2017. The extension comes after the committee could not meet a February 28th deadline to organize elections for a new FECAFOOT executive committee. The FIFA decision also comes as Cameroon continues its preparations to host the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations tournament. Joining us now with reaction from Cameroon's capital, Yaoundé, is reporter Moki Edwin Kinzika.
Véron Massengu, head of the FIFA delegation, says it was imperative to extend the mandate of the normalization committee to enable it to complete the good job it has started to bring order to the troubled Federation of Cameroon Football, FECAFOOT. Véron says the committee had prepared a status for FECAFOOT, but the government still had to send it to parliament for lawmakers to vote and adopt. He says FIFA has on several occasions taken the same decisions for other countries going through the same difficulties as Cameroon.
Guatemala now is about 2 years, almost 2 years, of the normalization committee. This is not normal. This kind of sanction in the case of Cameroon is because of the national law. This is not dependent to FIFA.
Véron says up to August 31, 2018, the committee will continue to run the daily affairs of FECAFOOT, identify delegates to an elective general assembly, and to organize and conduct elections of a new FECAFOOT executive committee. He says investigations will be opened on allegations of the corruption scandals that rocked FECAFOOT. People on the streets of Cameroon's political capital, Yaoundé, have been reacting differently to the FIFA decision.
We are waiting for greater results.
The committee has to work with some changes. What we want from them is better future, to prove their best, to prove what the other person could not do.
They have a lot to do, and it's such a shame to us African champions.
Former Indomitable Lion player Kamdem Kamdem says he is afraid Cameroon may be sanctioned by FIFA should the normalization committee fail to do its work this time.
Cameroon is a country known in Africa. But when you hear that Cameroon is suspended, you let all of us to be down.
Football has been the source of national pride in Cameroon for decades. But the Indomitable Lions, current African champions with 7 appearances at the FIFA World Cup, has been eliminated from the world event in Russia in 2018. Luc Assamba, president of the Premier Side Yaoundé Football Club, says Cameroon elite soccer teams are not even ready for African continental championships because of the disorder in the country's football association.
On aborde la phase préliminaire de la Coupe d'Afrique sans avoir joué un seul match de championnat.
He says it is unthinkable that Cameroon should enter preliminary stages of continental soccer without playing even a single match in the local league. He says it is catastrophic for Cameroonian sides.
It's a catastrophe for no club.
The decision to institute a normalization committee for Cameroon football was taken by FIFA in connection with the confirmation by the Court of Arbitration for Sport to annul the electoral process leading to the election of the last FECAFOOT executive committee voted in 2015 with Tombi Aroko Sidiki at its head, and following failed attempts by FIFA to reconcile the football stakeholders in Cameroon. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Moki Edwin Kinzika in Yaoundé, Cameroon.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
In National Basketball Association news, Cleveland Cavaliers superstar LeBron James had another excellent all-around game Tuesday night, and LeBron also achieved a big NBA milestone. LeBron scored 31 points, grabbed 12 rebounds, and had 11 assists as the Cavs defeated the visiting Brooklyn Nets 129-123. Now, in doing so, LeBron became the first player in NBA history to reach 30,000 points, 8,000 rebounds, and 8,000 assists for his career. In Miami, Florida, LeBron's former teammate, Dwayne Wade, scored a season-high 27 points, including a key jump shot with 6 seconds left in the game to help the Miami Heat edge the Philadelphia 76ers 102-101. Philadelphia's young star center from Cameroon, Joel Embiid, scored 23 points and grabbed 8 rebounds. The 23-year-old Embiid is nicknamed The Process, and he's linked with a unique marketing campaign that hopes to bring LeBron James to Philadelphia. LeBron will be a free agent after this season. Joining us now to tell us more is my Voice of America colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Hey, sports fans. So, here in the U.S., there's a popular movie in theaters now called Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. It's about a woman who rents three billboards to bring attention to the town about an unsolved murder. Well, a Pennsylvania-based company called Power Home Remodeling took note of that approach and got an idea. They decided to pay for three billboards to persuade LeBron James to leave the Cleveland Cavaliers for the Philadelphia 76ers. Mind you, the 76ers are not behind the billboard campaign. If they were, they would be brought up on tampering charges by the NBA. The billboards appear next to a major highway in Cleveland, Ohio. The first one features the number 23 with a crown on it on the court alongside the numbers of current 76ers. The next two billboards say, "Complete the process" and hashtag Philly wants LeBron. As I mentioned, the billboards are in Cleveland, but Philly fans took notice. One self-described lifelong Philadelphian tweeted, "He's coming!" Another wrote, "Come on, King James, do the right thing. Let's win some rings together." Some tweeters expressed appreciation for the campaign itself, like this one. "I am certainly no fan of the 76ers, but as a business student and a movie fan, I greatly appreciate Philly's use of three billboards in an attempt to attract LeBron. Very clever, Philadelphia, very clever." But not everyone is convinced the billboards will work. One tweeter says, "Hashtag Philly wants LeBron is only confirmation that every team wants LeBron. Sorry, but the greatest of all time is staying in the land." And then, of course, there is this. "That would be a great team, but still can't beat the Warriors." So, how does LeBron feel about all this?
You can say it's a distraction. No, it's not. Not a distraction. It's actually very flattering. You know, I'm sitting here at 33 in my 15th year, you know, in teams. Or guys, I'm going to say teams because, you know, that becomes tampering. But people in their respective city want me to play for them. I mean, that's cool. I think that's dope.
And the company responsible for the billboard campaign responded to LeBron with the tweet, "Dope enough that you'll sign up, King James?" The billboards popped up ahead of tonight's Cavaliers-Sixers matchup and are due to stay up for 3 months. Well, Philadelphia has been nicknamed the City of Brotherly Love. So we go from brotherly love to romantic love. The husband of Serena Williams has also caught the billboard bug. Alexis Ohanian surprised Serena with four billboards ahead of her upcoming tournament. The billboards display pictures of their daughter, Olympia, and the text, "Greatest Mama of All Time, Serena Williams." Alexis posted pictures of the billboards on Instagram and wrote, "These just went up alongside I-10 into Palm Springs, California. Olympia and I wanted to welcome her back to tennis, designed them myself with some help from Junior." And people responded. One tweeted, "Nothing can beat the love and support right there. I bet Serena feels on top of the world now." One guy felt inspired, writing, "Can't wait to end up doing stuff like this for my girl." This tweeter was a bit more skeptical. How could she be? She just had it. Get through 18 years, then call it. And finally this, "Husbands and boyfriends, take note. Serena's husband raising the bar." Well, before I go, I have got to mention Chloe Kim again, because she is living her best life right now. She just won a gold medal and landed on the covers of both Sports Illustrated and ESPN magazine at 17. This tweeter feels a little far behind, writing, "When I was 17, I learned to parallel park and tried to sneak into R-rated movies." So apparently, after Chloe won her gold medal, a commentator at the Olympics said, "Now she will go to her high school prom with the ultimate bling." And boy, oh boy, did that give guys an idea. Chloe's Twitter page is flooded with prom date proposals. Take this one. Chloe, I'd be stoked to take you to the prom. We're kind of alike. I'm 17, love to snowboard, and I love playing varsity basketball and rugby. I'm also a singer. I guarantee we'll have an amazing time at my school's prom, so will you go to prom with me? And this. Roses are red, violets are blue. You won a gold medal. Now let me win one too with you at prom. This tweeter just wants to keep things simple. I just want to take you to get pizza and play putt-putt golf. But here's what's cool. Chloe seems to have read them all and tweeted a response. She wrote, "These promposals have me shook to the ground. You guys are too funny and creative. Now I got to make some decisions on my end." Well, Sonny, I think it's time for someone to rent a billboard. Back to you.
All right. Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. One quick NBA correction. LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers will host the process. Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers on Thursday night in Cleveland, Ohio. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. It's time for our Wednesday NBA segment, and we're joined by another VOA colleague, Mwamoyo Hoops Hamza, the chief of the Voice of America's Swahili service. Nothing but net, Mwamoyo.
Nothing but net, Sonny. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Why don't we tip off right here in Washington, Mwamoyo? Big game later tonight.
No. Let's go back last week. Last week, you challenged me, and I said I was going to say, sorry, Sonny, you're going to lose.
That's right. I think maybe an apology is needed this evening, Mwamoyo, because I did pick the Wizards.
I do apologize.
To beat LeBron and the Cavaliers. They did beat them. They did. Cleveland.
Convincingly, in a good game.
Well, later tonight, the Wizards back on the court against the defending NBA champion, Golden State Warriors. Paint a little picture for our Voice of America listeners, Mwamoyo. Are you going to walk to the game or take the subway?
Well, Sonny, as you can see, the weather is nice in Washington today, so I will obviously walk to the game. I don't have to take the train or the bus or Uber or anything. It's a few blocks.
Just a few blocks.
Yeah, so I'll walk to the game today.
That's good. It is a nice day to walk across the National Mall. And I know there will be a certain player or two you might be focusing on in the game tonight. Who are you going to be really watching at the game?
Of course. I mean, when Golden State is playing, you have to watch, you know, Steph Curry. You have to watch KD. But, you know, they are playing
the Wizards.
Your Wizards. And the Wizards, they've been doing amazing things on the basketball court. So you have to watch Wizards Thomas Satoransky. You have to watch Bradley Beal. I mean, Martin Gortat. I mean, all these players, they've been playing very well since John Wall went out. And, let's talk about the Wizards a little bit, because this is very beautiful. It's beautiful basketball they're playing. They are on a 10-3,
record
since John Wall left. Now, when John Wall was sidelined, Martin Gortat, he sent a tweet and which caused a little bit of confusion and controversy within the Wizards organizations, saying that now, at last, we are playing team basketball, which apparently was a kick against John Wall, that John Wall is not. The way he plays the game, he doesn't involve a lot of people, and he's looking to score himself.
Mm.
Satoransky is playing quite differently. He doesn't look to score, and he's creating plays for others. As a result, what you have now is the Wizards. They have an average of 30 assists for a game. Against Philadelphia last week, they had 35 assists. Last night when they played Bucks, which was a very good game, they had 30 assists. So, I mean, when you see that, that's team basketball. That's a team that is sharing the ball, all around. And so that kind of questions the kind of play John Wall has been, you know, using with the team. And even if when he comes back, how would the Washington Wizards play? Will they play John Wall's way, or are they going to play Satoransky's way? At the same time, you know, there are some people in, you know, who will be, if there will be someone in the Washington Wizards organization who has the audacity with the way the Wizards are playing right now. If they play like this the next 10 games, somebody may ask, who needs John Wall?
I think we still need him, Memorial. I would like to see Wall back on the court. But what about Golden State? How have the Warriors played since the All-Star break?
The Warriors have come out very well since the All-Star break. The biggest game they won against OKC, who are their arch enemies. They had lost two games to OKC, and everybody was looking at, this was over the weekend, was looking at this game. Golden State really needed to win this game to show that the OKC doesn't own them. And they did. It was a big blowout game, just as OKC won the last two games. So they've been playing very well. And, you know, the nice thing about them is they're coming back to their form, and their schedule is not very, very hard. You know, okay, they play Wizards tonight, mm-hmm. which can be a very competitive game. But next they have Atlanta, and then they have Nets, Brooklyn Nets. But they have a big game next week against their San Antonio Spurs. So that will, you know, we'll see what happens in the next two, three, up to five games. How is Golden State coming up to form?
Another team that's been playing very well, Moimoyo, the Houston Rockets. They go after their 14th consecutive victory later Wednesday night, road game against the Los Angeles Clippers. Talk about those Rockets.
Chris Paul is going back home to the Clippers. But the Rockets have been playing so well. They are on top of the Western Conference, with Golden State is just behind them. But they've been playing very well, as you say, 13 games win streak. And the way they play, is they're sharing the ball so well. They don't have, you know, Houston used to have some stagnant moments during the game, you know, but now that's, we don't see much of that. We see that fluid movement throughout the game, the spacing, good shooting, threes, you know, jump shots, cuttings, you know, all that. We see all that. So, but they have a very difficult schedule ahead, because next week, on Saturday, they are playing Boston.
Tough game.
Very tough game. And then they have OKC next Tuesday. After OKC, they have Bucks. I mean, Bucks is, you know, is playing very well right now.
Good, so, young team.
Yeah, good young team. So the Giannis
Antetokounmpo
is in there. And then next week they also have to play Toronto Raptors. So Houston have a very, very difficult schedule. But if they go through this schedule with wins, then I don't think there's anything that can stop them.
As we look at this latter part of the NBA season, Memorial, do you think the Rockets can dethrone the Warriors out west?
That's the way they're playing right now. That's a good possibility. But hey, remember what the old Houston coach said, never underestimate the heart of the champion.
Right, right. Well, one champion, at least he's got a few rings, Dwayne Wade, season high 27 points on Tuesday night. Just a few thoughts on D-Wade.
You see, D-Wade is still a good player. D-Wade is so experienced, you know, having won two or three championships. He is someone who can give a team very good minutes, quality minutes. I don't think Cleveland used him very well. He just didn't figure out how to play with the team. But D-Wade can play next two, three seasons.
Thanks, Momoyo. Momoyo Hoops Hamza, the chief of the VOA Swahili service. And that wraps up the February 28th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Cornelius Tenner. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
A delegation from the U.S. government's Millennium Challenge Corporation, or MCC, visited Lesotho recently to discuss the development of a second MCC compact to reduce poverty and promote economic growth in partnership with the government of Lesotho. During their visit to restart development of a second MCC compact, the U.S. delegation met with senior Lesotho government officials and political party leaders, civil society, and the private sector to discuss MCC's approach to country partnership and the compact development process going forward. Using an approach that reflects a country's own priorities, MCC provides time-limited grants and assistance to developing countries that meet rigorous standards for good governance, from fighting corruption to respecting democratic rights. Working with local partners, MCC tackles some of the most pressing challenges that developing countries face, such as access to electricity, clean water, land rights, and roads. The decision by MCC's board of directors to reselect Lesotho is acknowledgement of the government of Lesotho's actions to address MCC's ongoing rule of law concerns, including the implementation of the Southern African Development Community recommendations, said Principal Deputy Vice President Kia Kim. Lesotho's continued commitment to rule of law, accountability, and investing in its people will remain important as we work toward our shared goal of reducing poverty through economic growth. U.S. Ambassador to Lesotho Rebecca Gonzalez noted, "The ongoing positive impact of the first MCC compact is a testament to the tremendous collaboration between the United States and Lesotho, and we look for the government of Lesotho's continued commitment to these early investments. As we build on this partnership of mutual accountability, we remain committed to supporting Lesotho as it undertakes an inclusive, transparent, and comprehensive national reform process, which is essential to achieving sustainable economic growth and long-term stability."
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, Ethiopia is set to undergo a major political change following the unexpected resignation of Prime Minister Haile Mariam Desalegn. The nation is now under a six-month state of emergency, as declared by the defense minister, but the U.S. State Department says it strongly disagrees with a call to declare a state of emergency. A discussion on Ethiopia.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
What's up, Africa? I'm Jackson Bungani in Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We love to have you on board. This is Upfront on the Voice of America.
Listen, we need to discuss what's going on in your communities, issues that affect you.
Are you involved?
Are you engaged in transforming your society?
Today, right now, this is your platform.
Let us know what you've been up to.
Check us out on Facebook. Drop us a line.
It's Upfront Wednesdays at 17:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.